Merry Christmas. My name is Barbara Miner. This is Bob Riggles. In just a few moments, you'll see Reverend Tom Berlin as well. We are three of your pastors here at Florence United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you have chosen to celebrate Christmas Eve with us. We want to extend a welcome with you on behalf of the entire congregation, especially if this is your first time. We would love to know that you're here, so if you would take a moment to text Floor is here to the number 31996. That would be really helpful. Or if you're on our website, you can go below to the pages and then there'll be somebody that will help you let us know that you're here. We have a lot of information on our website. As you can imagine, we're doing many things online right now. Just about everything is virtual. So take a moment and go check out our website, see what we're doing, and know that you are welcome to everything that we do. For tonight, as we move into our worship service, we have a couple of pieces of information that we think are important for everybody.
Something that's real important for us here at Floris is to remember that as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. That's why each year our Christmas Eve offering is totally given to the community. We take everything that we receive in this Christmas Eve offering and we give it back to those that are vulnerable and in need. This year, it's especially important for us to celebrate this best first gift, and we hope that you would be encouraged to participate in the Christmas Eve offering this evening. You'll learn more about what those donations and those offerings will be going towards as we share later in this service some of the partners that we work with in our community and throughout the world. Another important thing that we want to encourage you to remember is an invitation to join us after the beginning of the year. We celebrate Christmas tonight, and we know that God is a God of love. And if you've been wondering, how do we keep that love going beyond Christmas time? How do we make it more than just something superficial? If you want kindness to be an integral part of your life throughout the whole year, we hope you'll join us beginning January 10th for our new message series, Love Your Neighbor. In this series, we'll talk about what it means to love those around you and throughout our community. We hope that you'll join us at the beginning of the year.
Thank you, Bob. Again, Merry Christmas. We're so glad that you're here. I encourage you wherever you are, whether you're worshiping in your room by yourself or perhaps your family is together, that you take a moment and just take a breath, realize that it's Christmas Eve, and know that you are connected to people all around the world through this virtual service. But we are together in this. If you have a candle, I encourage you to light it. If you have some paper and a pencil, you might want to have that close by. There may be some notes that you want to take. If you find this service to be something that's helpful to you, be sure to like or share or comment on it, because there are other people that might like this as well. And now I encourage you, wherever you are, if you can stand as you're able, there's going to be some Christmas music, and let's all enter into that together and sing to God.
Today the Savior is born and we welcome a great light. We no longer fear the darkness or are anxious about what tomorrow will bring. We greet the birth of Christ with joy and we step eagerly into the light of that love.
The scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 2 and 6 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Let us pray. Holy Jesus, Child of Mary, Son of God, Savior of all, we welcome you tonight. Fill our hearts with your peace and help us be joyful messengers of your birth. Help us go and tell it on the mountains and in the cities and in our homes. Help us open your gift of love and receive it with willing hearts. We welcome you, Jesus. Amen.
What a blessing to continue in worship, and I'd especially like to thank the Tucker family for sharing in the lighting of the Advent wreath this evening. If you would, I'd like to invite you to join us in a Christmas Eve prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, we come tonight with breathless wonder to see the baby who will change our lives. We hear the names Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and we are in awe. You have touched the earth this night with your unconditional love. Touch us as well, heart, mind, and soul, so that we might embrace the light of your love that is born this night. Help us be your light to others. Remind us of the abundance of your love and help us be givers of your peace. Our world is in deep need of your peace, your love, and your grace. Tonight, we remember all those who are not able to worship freely and pray for their peace. We remember all who are ill and suffering, and we pray for their healing. We remember all who grieve and pray for their comfort. We remember all who are lost and pray for them to be found. Help us, Jesus, be bearers of light. May we see you in every twinkling light, every Christmas tree, every thoughtful gift, and every lovingly set table. May we be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, and the eagerness of the shepherds as we worship the Christ child. These things we pray. Amen.
My name is Tom Berlin. I'm one of the pastors here at Flourish United Methodist Church. Christmas Eve is one of our most exciting offerings that we take all year long. It's a great time of generosity, and if you're new, we want to invite you into that. This year, we're going to be helping four organizations. We do this every year. We give away the entire Christmas Eve offering to people in need, and the reason we do this is this. We believe that Christmas is Jesus' birthday and not our own. And so we like to make our proudest and best gift the one we make at Christmas Eve. And who do we give it to? We give it to people that Jesus told us to give it to. People that are hungry, people that are facing possible eviction, people that are in need of shelter, people that are in a space of deep vulnerability. We give it to children who are being educated. We give it to patients in the hospital. You're going to see in just a moment a quick video that'll show you the four different organizations, but I'm going to tell you who they are. It's the Loudoun Abused Women's Shelter, because unfortunately, domestic violence during a pandemic is on the rise. Second, it's for Cornerstones. They help people right here in this community who are facing eviction, who are in need. They help the young and the old, families and single people, and everybody in between. They have trained social workers, and they give people wraparound care. Third, we're going to be giving this to Helping Children Worldwide in Sierra Leone, Africa. And you'll see what they do with children, over 600 children that we provide education, food, and medical care in a hospital that currently has added the capacity to do cesarean sections, which are saving the lives of women who are there. It's just been an exciting year for those ministries. And finally, some of that money we will retain in a fund at Flourish United Methodist Church, but not for our needs, for the needs that will appear in 2021. It could be a natural disaster like a fire or a flood or a hurricane. It could be a need right here in our local community. But our generosity is in place because of this offering. And since we started it, we've given over $3 million away to celebrate the birthday of Christ. Take a look at this video.
The season of Advent invites us to rediscover the joy of the coming gift of our Savior Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus reminds us that this season is not just about the gifts that we receive, but the gifts that we give. Throughout 2020, Florists and Restoration have supported our neighbors and communities across the globe through our partner organizations and their efforts to help families affected by COVID-19. This year's recipients of the Christmas Eve offering are Cornerstones, Helping Children Worldwide, Loudoun Abused Women's Shelter, and the Community and World Impact Fund. We worked with Cornerstones this year to direct families in need of rental assistance to their CARES Act relief programs in order to prevent evictions. We partnered with Helping Children Worldwide to give 100 families much-needed food and resources after markets closed because of COVID-19. And we joined Loudoun Abused Women's Shelter to help vulnerable families find resources for safe housing and other services to stay safe during these tumultuous times. All donated funds will be sent to our ministry partners to help further the work that God is doing to transform lives and build better futures for families, individuals, and communities across the globe. Our Christmas Eve offering is our church's gift to others so that they can rediscover joy, peace, hope, and love this season. Every cent of your generosity enables our church and partner organizations in our community and across the world to do this life-transforming work.
I want to invite you to give. I want to invite you to be a part of what's happening here at Flourish United Methodist Church. And I want you to enjoy the pleasure of waking up tomorrow morning, checking our church website, and we will tell you in the morning exactly how much was given tonight. We're really grateful for your generosity. You can give online. You can see on the slide next to me how to do that. You can give by check. Just make sure you write that it's for the Christmas Eve offering and send it before December 31st of this year. Or you can give by text. However you give, it'll be appreciated. And now, enjoy some music as we all together give unto Christ.
Mary, did you know? and daughters, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby
is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that when they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
Changes everything.
It's always a special thing to preach on Christmas Eve because it's such an important time of year for us. The story is so powerful, and the love of Christ is something that we all need. But it's a really unique time to preach this sermon in. So we have prepared a special Christmas Eve sermon for you, one about the light of Christ breaking into the darkness. It's been a time when we need the light, and before I share that sermon, I just want to say to everyone, you have been such a light in this community and in the world, and I can't thank you enough. We have been in a season, in a time of generosity. Your remarkable generosity with the COVID-19 fund, over $260,000 has been given since March, and we've been distributing that money both to individuals in need and to organizations that are helping many individuals. And it's been such a pleasure to tell people that it's going to be okay, that there's help on the way, and you've made that possible. We've put blue bins in front of the church, and those blue bins are where you brought non-perishable food items. And every day that we've put those bins out, at the end of the day, there's something inside. Some days overflowing, some days just one item. But every day, your generosity has been placed there. You have been incredible during the early part of this pandemic. A group of people made masks, gowns, and caps to give to people that were working with others and needed that protection. It's been a time of partnership. We've partnered with organizations like She Believes in Me, Facets, Hutchins Elementary, Help Hungry Kids, Food for Others, and other organizations. And those organizations have helped our members reach the community. There have been pop-up food events where Food for Others and She Believes in Me gathers here at Flourish United Methodist Church, and our volunteers come in, and together we put together boxes of food and put them in the cars of people that are in need. The longer this pandemic has gone on, the more that's been necessary. Our Grace Ministry food distribution has had record high numbers of people coming through. That partnership that we've had with so many has made such a difference, and because of that, it's been a time of encouragement. Last year, we gave away food to about 16,000 people, but this year in 2020, that number will be over 30,000 meals have been offered to people in our community and given and taken home and consumed. This time of encouragement, though, is not just the need in the community. It's also about our needs. It's about our spiritual needs. It's about what it's like just to be the average member of this church, whether you're young or whether you're old. And we've seen this be a time of encouragement in those ways. Families have been teaching their children when Sunday school wasn't available. They've been walking them through the family Advent camp or the vacation Bible school we did at home this summer. Students have been gathering in outdoor events and safe events online, and they've been doing their best to keep their relationships together. And what a joy it's been when they've actually been able to come up onto the church property and be together and see each other face to face. We've had adults in life groups. We've had people that were sick, people that were dying, people that were grieving. And you've sent cards and letters, made visits. Our congregational care ministers have been diligent. And in so many ways, whether through Zoom or other the phone, people have cared for people. We've actually called the roll of the church 3 or 4 times this year just to check in and make sure that people were okay. And it's been a time of growth. It's been a time of growth where people continued to meet with worship, where our musicians and our choirs and our band put together special concerts, put together special worship services like the recent cantatas that have been held. And in those ways, they've served us all. They've shown us that each one of us matters. I just wanted, before I shared this sermon, to say to everyone, well done. Well done. A difficult season, a difficult time, but a time of generosity, a time of partnership, a time of encouragement, and a time of growth. It's been a blessing to be one of your pastors during this time, and I look forward to the year ahead. As they say, we're going to get through this, but I'm so glad that I got to go through it with each of you. And now I want to have a word of prayer and then invite you to receive a sermon that talks about light in the darkness. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, I want to give you thanks for the people of Flourish United Methodist Church and our restoration campuses. I thank you, Lord, that you have been so present to us in this difficult time. There have been times when we've been weary, times when we've been worn out, but there have also been so many times when everyone's simply risen to the occasion and have been a blessing to one another and to the community and to the world. Thank you for helping us see your light. I pray now for this message, and I pray that there are those who will receive encouragement, will know your love, might come to believe in you and trust you, and I pray that we might be your light in the world. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What is to be done when we find ourselves in the darkness? One possibility is just to try harder, to work at it, to give it our best. Communicating with a member of the church recently, she's in another country. Her husband, two children, they're here. And she's trying to figure out how to enter the country legally, how to become a citizen. It's a long process, we all know that. She just wants to do the very first part of that process, but she's found again and again that she's just hitting roadblock after roadblock, and she doesn't really have the legal acuity to just figure that out and negotiate it. And she said, I'm beginning to lose hope. It's hard when you find yourself in that place, isn't it? It's hard when you feel the darkness sort of creeping in your life, or sometimes even worse, creeping around the life of someone you really love. And in those moments, sometimes we discover our best efforts, they're just not enough. It's really important to remember in such moments that God has already placed a light in the darkness. And that light is so vital and so bright that the darkness simply can't overcome it. The darkness is powerless against the light. It doesn't seem that way. It seems like darkness is all-consuming, like it's all-surrounding. But the darkness isn't like that at all. The darkness is not like a beautiful ebony pigment of color that is actually absorbing light and taking it in. Darkness is just the opposite. Darkness is the absence of light. So when God put light into the darkness, suddenly every beautiful color on the spectrum could be found. It could all be seen because that light was there in the darkness. John, when he writes his gospel, tells us about the power of darkness. He names the darkness. And then John tells us about the power of light. John says the story of Christmas is the story of light entering the darkness. John knows nothing of Mary and Joseph. He knows nothing of shepherds or magi. He knows nothing of an inn or a manger or swaddling clothes. For John, this story is all about the light entering into the darkness, overcoming the darkness. John says it this way, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." When John says, "In the beginning was the Word," that is a Greek word, logos. Logos means word, but it means wisdom. And so what John's trying to communicate is that when the light comes into the world, it's bringing the wisdom of God. It's bringing the way of God. It's bringing the thinking of God into the world. All of that, the wisdom, the thinking, the mind of God, all of that is what comes to us in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is the Word made flesh that dwells among us. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. John in his gospel tells us that when that darkness comes into your life, it changes everything. It changes the way you experience the darkness around you. It experiences the way you experience the darkness within you. It makes you into a new person. I know a man who knew of Jesus. You might even say he knew Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus in a way that was transformative necessarily. And I don't know what did it. I don't know what the moment was. I don't even know what he would say the moment was. I wonder sometimes if it was teaching Sunday school. Because he began to teach children Sunday school, and when you teach Sunday school, you have to prepare the lesson, and when you prepare the lesson, you spend time reading the Bible, and you, more importantly, begin to think about how the Bible applies to your life, but how the Word, how Jesus, applies to your life. He'd always been a pretty good man. He had a nice family, he worked hard, he was a good citizen, he was a good neighbor. But the more he came to know the light, the more the light began to radiate from his own life. And suddenly, he started doing things for other people. He started treating people he barely knew like they were family. He began to be a more gracious person. He began to be a more generous person. He gave his time, his talent, his treasures. And I've heard people say to this man, you know, you're just so sacrificial. But here's the thing. He never sees sacrifice. He just sees the light. And it also transforms the hardest times. I remember talking to a woman who had been in a mental health facility, and she had gone through a very rough experience, and at the end of that, she found herself curled up on a windowsill in this room in a mental health facility, looking out the window, and she could feel the darkness. The darkness had a certain weight to it. But she remembered that while she didn't necessarily feel the light or see the light at that moment, she remembered there was a light. She remembered there was a light because earlier in her life, she had embraced that light. And so now as she sat in that windowsill, curled up, looking out, she prayed. And in her prayer, she asked the light to embrace her. And that, she said, made all the difference between despair and a ray of hope. How many times have you looked into someone else's life and you've seen that they were in the darkness? And when that happens, you tell them that they don't have to be there, that there's this light. And you describe the light of Christ to them. But they don't see it the way you see it. They don't recognize it. They don't take it in. And so the darkness that they're in, it just never lifts. The good news is that when we do embrace that light, it begins to illuminate our lives. It begins to change us and transform us. The light of Christ is fundamentally transformational. John says it this way, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, or of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." As children of God, as children of the light, our greatest desire is to spread the light that we've received. There are many ways to spread the light. One of the most important is to actually share the good news of Christ with other people. You have something, and sometimes we keep that as more of a secret than as good news to share. There's a man in our church who is remarkable at sharing his faith. He just does it naturally. He does it spontaneously. It's not overt. It's not like he's hitting somebody over the head with it. He is someone who I think knows how to do this well because he knows what life is like without Jesus, and he knows what life is like with Jesus. And that just makes all the difference. He was once a prisoner. He's a returned citizen now. But when he was in a prison, he knew what it was like to be in darkness. And because he knew what darkness was like, now he can see other people's darkness from a mile away. He just knows. He has an instinct. And he wants to bring the light into that space. And it's frankly just a beautiful thing to talk to him and to hear him articulate how much Jesus means to him, how much the light shines in his life, and what a difference that makes. Sometimes it's in other spaces. One time I was in a hospital. A woman was dying. She was the mother of the family. Her adult daughter was there. And her daughter came to me and said, you know, Mom and I really have never talked much about faith, and I think she's a believer, but I'm not sure. And this woman's faith, I knew, was very dear to her, very important to her. And in the darkness of that time, when the hospital had told her that your mother doesn't have long to live, she wanted to make sure that her mom had light. She said, I think I'm going to try to talk to her about Jesus. Do you think I could do that? And I said, of course you can do that. She said, well, what should I say? And I said, you already know what to say. It's not some formula. It's just tell her what you know about the love of Christ. Well, I didn't really hear the conversation, but she later told me that the conversation had gone really well. She felt good about it. But here's what I think she felt the best about. In a moment when her mother was facing the ultimate darkness, she wanted to show her the light that would light the way, that would illuminate the path to make sure their mom was okay. That's spreading the light. As children of the light, we carry the light of Christ into the world in many ways. The light of Christ does something in our lives. It changes how we see other people, how we see situations in the world, and it pushes us. It calls to us. It illuminates a path that makes us become involved in things that we might not have been otherwise. It gives us words of encouragement when people need them. It offers us compassion and empathy. Sometimes it comes out in acts of kindness, acts of love. Sometimes it's a small thing. Recently, my wife Karen was visiting with a friend who's a member of the church, and this friend had just had surgery, and so she wasn't very mobile. And so Karen at one point said, hey, is there anything I can do for you? And it was a couple weeks ago, and she said, yes, you know, I'd really love it if I could have some lights on the bushes outside, my Christmas lights. Is there any way you could put some of those up for me? And Karen said, sure, I'd love to do that for you. And so she went outside and she had the lights, and the woman was watching inside the house and from inside the house. And as Karen was putting these lights on by herself on these bushes, a neighbor across the street walked over. And it turns out the neighbors also go to the church, and they're also friends of the same person. And they began to assist her and put those lights out. Now, it's a small thing, but the more they worked together, the more the light was spread. And when it became dark that night, there were lights everywhere. You know, sometimes I just don't know what's small and what's large. John says that once we become people of the light, children of the light, we'll eventually want to do even larger things to spread the light in the world. And often the only way that we can do that is to join together with other people of the light. You know, sometimes this little light of mine just isn't quite enough. But when I bring my light and add it to your light and his light and her light and everyone else's life, pretty soon we've got something that really matters. And as a church, that's why we've tried to do over the years some things that felt bigger than life, bigger than our own individual lives. We've fed the hungry. We've been distributing food throughout this pandemic. And we've gone to other countries. We've built churches. We've built a hospital. We've helped children that were at risk for child trafficking or child labor. We've improved the lives of students down the street and schools. We've called politicians, and we have asked people to work for justice, to hear the voice of people that are on the margin, people that are on the fringe, and to care about that and to act on it in ways that would help. We've provided shelter sometimes to men and women right in a church building that was ours, but other times we've done that through the women's shelter, say out in Loudoun County, where we've helped women that were abused, and then we've provided resources to their children. That list of things that we've done as a church goes on and on. But the important thing that I want you to know is we don't do that just for any reason. We do that because the light of Christ is so much a part of who we are that our desire is to bring that light into the darkness, to be a place of blessing and love, to offer that light. And so year after year, ministry after ministry, life after life, we offer the light of Christ. In so doing, we fulfill, I think, one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, Isaiah 53, Listen to these words.
Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke?
Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood?
Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard.
Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointed finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday.
We do these things throughout the year, but especially at Christmas. Especially at Christmas, because at Christmas we are very focused on the light. That's what John said Christmas was all about, the light coming into the darkness. That's why for years we've given away our Christmas Eve offering. And it's just been a blessing to so many people over that time, but it's been a blessing to us to remember that Jesus is the one we're celebrating, that it's his birthday, not ours. And it allows us to remember the love of God, the love that God has for us when the light first came into our lives. We stand in the midst of the light of Christ, the very glory of God. And that's a powerful thing that we then want to share with other people. Because Jesus changed us, we long to see other people experience the light and experience the transformation and to see their life in a whole new way. John said it this way, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The light of Christ is more powerful than any darkness that's in our time or in our lives. And I hope that you will be a person who will share the good news. And then I also hope that you'll be people who will focus on doing the things that children of the light do. Share the kind word, offer the encouragement, show the compassion, be a person of empathy, be kind. It's important all the time, but it's especially vibrant right now in this time, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Who might you invite? Who might you tell about Christ? What blessing might you share? Because the light lives in you. At this time, I want to invite you to go get a candle. Find a candle and something to light it with. I'm just going to give you a few seconds because I bet there's one close by. Or make sure, if it's possible, it could be one for your family, or each one of you might have a candle. The candle might be lit. It might be electric. It really doesn't matter. You could, if you don't have a candle, just lower the lights where you're sitting and enjoy what you're about to see on the screen. Let us provide the light of the candle for you if you don't have one nearby. It's going to be okay. The reason it's important, though, is that for many of us, there is no Christmas Eve complete without the singing of Silent Night to candlelight. And so I want to invite you to either have that light and light it with me at this time, or, as I said, just dim the lights. Enjoy the light that's in front of you on the screen. This is the Advent wreath. We've been lighting each of these four candles each week. And now we're here at Christmas Eve, and this white candle is called the Christ candle. And so I'm taking the light of the Christ candle, and I'm lighting it and holding it. And I want to invite you, if you've got a candle nearby or an electric candle, bring light to your candle as well. Just take a look at the light that's before you. It's the light in the darkness. It's the light of Christ. And the light of Christ comes from the Christ candle into our candle, the same way that the light of Christ comes from his life into ours. And now, sing Silent Night along with the music. Make sure you sing it out loud and enjoy the light of Christ. I pray that the light of Christ is in your life, and I pray that you'll be that light in our world. Merry Christmas. It's been wonderful to spend this time with you. I hope you have a very blessed Christmas day. And now go in the name of God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.